Vision Sunday. Are you guys excited for Vision Sunday? Okay. Vision Sunday, and we're closing to the end of this year. And the vision is nearing to the end of the year, usually at the beginning of the year, right? But we want to take the time to pray and think about what God's vision for this brand new service. If you know, this service started in November last year, so it's a pretty young service. The cathedral is that building is 1862. So can you just imagine, in comparison to the age of the cathedral building, we are infant, we are baby. So this service is not possible without you guys. You guys made it so lively, so vibrant, and so exciting. And I look forward every Sunday to come and worship together with all of you. So today is Vision Sunday. You know, in the Bible, God gave a lot of visions to many people. He gave a vision to Abraham when he was pretty old and his wife was old. God gave him a vision that he will have many descendants, as many as the stars in the sky. He wasn't able to see that vision come to fruition until his descendants and on and on and on. But God placed a vision in his heart, and he was really excited for it. And God also gave a vision to Moses to go to the promised land. But unfortunately, Moses did not manage to go into the promised land. He passed it to Joshua, who carried on that vision. And later on to Israel. Israel had a vision to be a nation, a holy nation, a chosen priesthood, to gather all the other nations to see that what is God is doing in Israel. So what is the vision for 1113? It started in Kuala Lumpur, okay? Let's see whether it works. Ah, yes. Our vicar, do you know who's your vicar? Anyone? Most people think his first name is Canon, but that is his title. In the Anglican system, they have titles. Okay, it's a bit like a military. So his Pastor Terry Wong. Yeah, so when he joined the cathedral about 3 years ago, he saw that many young people were not coming to the cathedral. Many of them were visiting other churches or not even worshiping God anymore. So he had a burden and a heart for young people. So he asked the staff, let's start a new service to bring the young people back to God and bring them back to church. So he had this heart for young people. So he asked me and a team, started with Dennis, our worship leader. He looks young, right? So he looked for the young people to lead this new service. I'm considered quite young. Okay, probably not. But he was looking for young people to lead this new service. So when he asked me, let's start this new service, I had no vision. Is it going to be a youth service? Most people wonder, do you think 1130 is a youth service? What do you think? Oh, some people say, yeah, it's a youth service. No, but it's not a youth service. It's just a worship service. And for people who are young at heart, a lot of people ask me, can those in their 50s and 40s, can I join 1130 service? What's my answer? No, of course. I say, no, yes, you're most welcome to join 1130. It's for all ages, as long as you're young at heart. And you allow and you champion the young people. You let the young people express themselves in worship to God. So, you know, there's this lady, I shall not mention the name. She came and she thought, oh, the music is a bit too loud. It's so dark. But when she goes to the other service, she says, oh, it's so warm. It's so bright. Or something, you know, the music is too soft and so on. So while you can't please everyone, but most importantly is as you come to 1130, you can just express yourself. And our tagline is welcome home. I'm going to explain more about that. But it started in Kuala Lumpur. So Pastor Terry invited a group of us, Dennis, Peter, Kenneth. We went to KL, visit Dennis' hometown. Dennis is from KL, Petaling Jaya. Anyone from KL? Oh, all right. Okay, so we went to visit this church called Holy Trinity Bukit Bintan. If you ever visit KL, go and Google it. Holy Trinity Bukit Bintan. It's near Bukit Bintan, the shopping area. It's an Anglican church planted recently. And it was, this church originally is from London. And they were invited by Bishop Ng Mun Heng, who is going to be our speaker next Sunday. He invited this church to plant a church in Kuala Lumpur to reach out to young people. So we went there and we got excited. We said, okay, this is something, this is possible, a vision. So we saw a glimpse of this vision of 11:30. And we were invited to a prayer meeting. And there, God left an impression on me. He gave me a word from John chapter 10, verse 16. Let me read to you that passage. Let me read from John chapter 10, verse 14 to 16. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have, this is verse 16, this verse spoke to my heart, and it broke me. I cried in KL. Yeah. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So that is the heart, the vision of 11:30 in a way, to bring back the sheep who are outside of God's sheep pen. Those who are outside the walls of the cathedral, the fence of the cathedral, those who are not even in God's kingdom. A place where they can just find home, find rest, find God. So this is the heartbeat and the value of the service. And some of you have received this on the way in. What a very morbid picture, someone asked. What is this? Does this look very familiar? Have anyone been to the old cathedral building? Yeah, that's the old cathedral. You can pop by. We are open. This, you know, cathedral is so blessed. We are one of the few churches that are open 7 days a week. You can come by anytime. If you work nearby, the grounds are open 7 a.m. and it closes at about 9:30 p.m. And you can go to the nave. Nave is an old building. And you can just worship God and just pray and have a quiet time. And it's open daily. So this church has seen a lot of history of Singapore. It saw World War II, of course. This picture sort of resonated with me. It spoke to my heart as well. Often we see cathedral, very nice, very beautiful. It's a bit like a country club, don't you agree? In order, you got a nice place, comfortable seats, aircon, and you drive your car, you register your IU ID, then you get preferential members rate. Wow. So you give your tithe, it's like your membership fees, your subscription fee. And Pastor Terry is like the country club director or something, like, you know, enjoying, how are you? Enjoying the services, the facilities, and so on. And I'm like one of his manager, perhaps, you know, one of our, oh yes, we have a tennis court, oh, yeah, the grounds. Oh, you want to have a wedding here? Sure, let me contact my F&B manager and so on. So it feels like a bit like a country club. But this picture, this painting was painted by a World War II Australian artist. And it depicts a real event in the cathedral. When the Japanese invaded Singapore, the cathedral was used as a military hospital. They cleared the pews, and they laid out the casualties and so on. And it spoke to me because often we see the church as a nice, comfortable social club or organization. But it's more than that. It is actually a hospital. And I think you guys will be sick by this quote. I keep repeating this many times. And I love this quote very much. It's from Nicky Gumbel, one of the founders of Alpha. And he says, church is not an organization you join. It is a family where you belong, a home where you are loved, and a hospital where you find healing. And the word hospitality comes from the word hospital, a place where you find rest, recovery, healing, restoration, reconciliation, a balm of healing upon your wounds. All of us are wounded. All of us are broken. We are all sinners. You agree? No one is holier than thou. Even though I'm standing on the stage, I'm the same as you guys. I'm a sinner, broken man, but redeemed and loved by God. And someone said, the church is not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. So I proudly declare 1130 is a hospital for sinners. That's the vision for 1130, a hospital, a home, a family. And that is our value. Our value is not on our performances or our tasks or what we can do, but our value comes from God who redeems us and loves us, even though we were sinners. So that's a picture of the old cathedral. And, So this is our modern, beautiful cathedral. What a difference, isn't it, during World War II? The blood, the casualty, the pain, the suffering. And now it's so lovely. Spotlights, Air conditioned. You know, in the olden days, the later services were not so popular because there were no aircon. The early services were very popular because it was still cool. And before Esplanade was built, you can see the sea. So you can have a nice sea breeze, as you worship early in the morning. But as when we installed the aircon, the later services became more popular because it was comfortable. So this is our church. But the church is not only for people to be comfortable. Someone said the gospel is to bring comfort to the troubled and to trouble the comfortable. That's what the gospel is, to shake us up, to comfort us when we are down, and to convict us when we feel too comfortable with ourselves, with our own sinfulness. So anyway, do you know what is the vision for cathedral? Anyone? It's in our church bulletin website. We have it for almost 2 years now. Anyone? You saw a glimpse of it, right? It was a bit too fast. Just shout it out. Huh? Yeah. All right. Yeah. So this is our vision statement for St. Andrew's Cathedral. Not for 1130, but it's inspired. Our service vision is inspired by this cathedral vision. Roots down, walls down, bridges out. And this was Pastor Terry came up with this. Almost hit it. Pastor Terry came up with this vision because he wants cathedral to be a place to reach out to the community. God has placed us in such a strategic place. We have the cafe and all that. All this to really reach out to other people. And a place where you can be at home and so on. Okay, so back to 1130 vision. So what is our 1130 vision? Well, you saw a glimpse of it. And it was conceived in Commonwealth in May, on 20th May. So we had that glimpse of that vision in KL late last year. And so it became, it was conceived and I'm not a biologist. Anyway, in Commonwealth, 20th May, we went to Joel's place and Cheryl. Yeah. And we had a vision casting day because we don't want to rush. And this new service, in the past, if the vicar has asked me to start a new ministry, I will be the one coming out with the vision, okay, and the values, this mission statement, it'll be the head of the ministry. But I didn't want to do that. I want it to be a collaboration, a community, the way God will speak to different people, and we come together, and we see it, wow, God has placed all the jigsaw into one beautiful piece. So we went, we prayed, we sang a few songs. Yeah, I think we sang a few songs. We had prata for breakfast. When you have vision casting, you need to have food. And people start to place words, in our hearts. God placed words in our hearts. And in Joel's house, there's this glass panel. Yep. And we put a mahjong paper, we stick words, we wrote words and so on. And I was so amazed. It was a very beautiful experience, how God placed all these jigsaw pieces into one beautiful picture. And I want to thank Crystal and Shell for them. They are very very structured. We men are not very organized. So no, that's a very stereotypical, okay, I'm sorry. But I just want to thank Cheryl and Crystal, especially Crystal. She brought everything together and in a way that is very beautiful, how God placed all these pieces together. So, drum roll. Matthew, where's the drum? Okay. Our vision. Are you guys ready? Anyway, you got it in the piece of paper. It starts with welcome home. You see in the banners, welcome home. This is a home where you can find God, where we have friendship. And it has to be a shape of our home, right? And so that's our vision. Very similar to the cathedral vision, because we are still part of the cathedral family. So three R's, simple. Oops. Real, rooted, reaching. And that's our vision and our mission, to be real with God, with ourselves, with one another, to be rooted in Christ. That's why we exist, to be rooted in the Word and in community. To be reaching out to our different spheres of influence, the next generation, because we champion young people, to reach out to the unloved as well. And our values, the values undergird all of this. It starts with belonging, a sense of belonging, to be welcoming, accessible, to be positive, to believe. When you feel a sense of belonging, you start to believe. So the values of believing is to be evangelistic, prophetic, and relevant. And lastly, to behave, authentic, vibrant. So I will spend the next 1 hour, no, just joking. I know you guys can't wait for lunch. I have a few more slides just to elaborate what all this means to us. And I hope that it's not just a corporate vision, but a personal vision, a spiritual vision that God has placed in all of our hearts. So, the first one, to be real with God, real with ourselves, and to be real with one another. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know where I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying downs and are acquainted with all my ways. We can't run away from God. And my desire for all of us is that we can really be real with God. You know, I've been a youth worker for many years. The young people like to say, hey, Pastor Harley, they like to call me Uncle Harley. Harley, you need to be real. It was a real message. The word real, what is the meaning of real? You can just be. To me, my definition of being real is you can just be yourself. Be real, be authentic, be honest with God. If you're struggling, you have doubts, you can talk it out with God. You can be so real to Him. And to be real with ourselves, you can come to God with all your struggles. You can come and just be honest with yourself. You don't have to put on a mask. You know, often when we come to church, we think we need to be of a certain person, put on the holy hat, you know, with a big Bible, and we come with a certain holy swagger, you know, and a holy smile. Yeah, everything holy, holy dress, you know, a bit of holes. Okay, that was a bad joke. Okay. So holiness, you know. And then after service, you go back and you're a different other person. You put on another hat. You go back to work, another hat, another mask. It gets very, very tiring. So that's why our welcome message, welcome home. You can be yourself. You can just be true to yourself. You don't have to put on a mask. But of course, we are not there yet. It's a vision, right? I hope that we will be there where you come as you are, Even at, usually during the welcome, you know, some Stephen like this earlier on, he said, hey, come, go around and shake hand, put on a smile, but maybe you don't feel like smiling today. It was a bad day. The MRT broke down. You had a fight with your girlfriend. You lost your wallet. And you just want to sit down. It's okay. Sit down and just find peace with God. That's what it means to be real with ourselves and to be real with one another. So I just want to encourage all of us that we can be real with God, with ourselves, and with one another. We don't have to put on a mask. Jesus liked to say this. This is one of he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. By the way, our service starts at 11:30, so you can remember. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for my soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that is Jesus' invitation for all of us. As you come to be part of this community, you can just come as you are. Labor, with heavy labor and heavy burden, just come before him and find rest. Next one is to be rooted. To be rooted in Christ, in the Word, in community. The word rooted means to be strengthened, to be established, to be fully grounded, to be secure in, and certain in our identity and our value. Our identity must be rooted in Christ. Our identity is not rooted in me being a Singaporean, in my school identity. Those are important, but they're not the most important. Often in Singapore, it's a rat race. And our identity, when we meet someone, we always say, hey, hi, I'm Harley. What's your name? What do you do? Right? We always ask, what do they do? And if they are students, I say, which school do you go to? How did you do in your O-levels? Or something, I wonder. So it's always about doing, about your performance, about your grades, about your work, your status in life, how much you earn. And you know, as Asians, we like to know, how much you buy, how much, is it familiar with? No, okay. Is it just me? when you go to someone's house, they say, oh, how much did you pay for this house? That's a very Singaporean thing. Or how much did you buy that handbag and so on? So we always put a value, economical value on things. And that sort of affects our identity. So there's a certain cost to it. But our identity is in Christ. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. You need to live your life in him. That's your identity. Rooted and built up like a tree. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. So that is your identity in Christ, in the Word. The Bible is our manual. The world will say otherwise, but we are grounded in God's Word. The world, you know, these days we're having an attack on the values, on our Christian values. So we need to stay grounded in God, in our identity. And in John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me, live in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide, unless you live in me. Friends, do we live in God? Do we live in Christ? Do we even read God's Word? Are we hungry for God's Word? You know, these days in Singapore, we are so blessed. Who of you have more than one Bible? I think most of us, all of us have Bibles. We printed Bible, and we even have it on our mobile phones and so on our computers. It's so accessible. But the irony is that we don't spend time with God in reading his Word, spending time with him. So I just want to encourage all of us to come back to God, come back to the reading of God's Word as well. Next week, there's a seminar on the Beatitudes. For the past 2 months, we've been doing a sermon series on the Beatitudes. And next, this coming Friday and Saturday, there will be a seminar on the Beatitudes by one of my favorite lecturers. He's from Trinity Theological College, Dr. Tan Kim Huat. He's a really funny guy. And he makes the word so alive. And I just want to encourage you. It's at the Cathedral New Sanctuary. It's free of charge. Come back to the word. To what? To God's word. Yeah. And in the community, to be rooted in the community. All of us. 11:30 is not about the leaders, about the music, about the slides or the videos, or the banners, or the food. It's about people. It's about you guys. And we want all of us to be rooted in this community where you can just feel a sense of home, where you can be real with one another and so on, to be rooted in community. Last bit, okay, is reaching. To be reaching to our spheres of influence, the next generation and the unloved. In part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, after he rattled off the Beatitudes, blessed us, and he ends with, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. God called us to be the salt and light of the world. We are to reach out, to bring blessing. In the Old Testament, Israel was supposed to be the light of the world, bringing the Gentile nations to Israel. But now, in the New Testament, in the era of God's grace right now, what do? We become like the Israelites, drawing people to us through Christ, that we become the light, we become the salt. Someone said, bloom where you are planted. So wherever you are, in whichever school, whichever workplace, in whichever families, bloom where you are planted and shine and bring glory to God. If you are a teacher, be the best Christian teacher. If you are a salesman or a saleswoman, be the best Christian salesperson. If you are a student, be the best Christian student wherever God has placed you. If you are an Uber driver, be the best Christian Uber driver. You know, Uber drivers, you can play any song you want, right, in the Uber car. You can play some Christian music. Put some 11:30 tracks. No, just okay. But you can do anything. You know, you can put certain things to just create an opportunity for conversation in your car. You play a nice music, a Christian music, and hey, the passenger might be blessed. Who knows? Be the best Christian Uber driver or Grab driver. Yeah, and Grab Hitch. Anyone done Grab Hitch? I think it's a good idea. This is like I think it was created by church. Grab Hitch. You know the concept of Grab Hitch? So you can use your car to, and anyone need to hitch a ride, then you share the cost. I don't know how it works, but I haven't done it, but hey, that's a good idea. Then you can make a conversation, and you can even set what kind of gender you want. So Grab Hitch is like, well, it's like a bit like a dating app. So you can, if you want to just pick up female passenger, you can set it as female passenger. I didn't know that. So isn't that interesting, Grab Hitch? So you want to use it for evangelism, why not? Invite them for the next round of Alpha. Use Grab Hitch if you own a car. So that's what it's all about. And you know, I want to say something from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a German pastor. He was executed by the Nazis because he was standing up against the Nazis. And in the end, he was jailed and they executed him. He made this very powerful quote. He says, your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. Let me repeat that again. Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. So, friends, God has placed you in different areas, in different spheres, in the army, in school, in workplace, wherever. Make the non-believers question their disbelief in God. You shine. You be as salty as you can, as God can, as you can be. And the next one, our values. I like the, you probably heard of it, belong, believe, behave. Often in church, the order is the other way around. We make people behave first, then you will belong, then you will believe. But you need to switch that order. It starts with belonging, a sense of belonging. Then you will start to believe, and then you will change your behavior. So if someone who is a heavy smoker to come to 11:30, you can say, oh, you can't smoke. You need to quit smoking. But he or she does not have a living relationship with God. So there's no point in changing that behavior. Of course, we want to encourage them to quit smoking. But we want them to find a sense of belonging first. Then they will start to change their belief system, and eventually they might quit smoking. So I'm just giving you an example on that. I put a picture of a sparrow because there's this verse. You know, sometimes when we think of the Old Testament, the temple built by Solomon. You think it's a beautiful temple with gold lampstand, curtains. Everything is beautiful, clean, pristine. You think there'll be wild animals living in that temple? Maybe a rat, a cat. What do you think? No pests. But the psalmist in Psalm chapter 84, verse 3 says, even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. So the psalmist is describing birds that build their nests in the temples, in the courts, in the Holy of Holies, probably somewhere in a corner there. What does that speak to us? God's temple, God's church, is a place for everyone. Not only of a certain type, stereotype. It's open. It's open to everyone, where they can find a sense of belonging. So, belonging, there are three values that undergird this virtue. Number one is to be welcoming, to show genuine interest in people and help them to be connected and feel at home at 11:30. And I really appreciate our welcome ministry. Let's give them a round of applause. You know, they come earlier than you guys, set up the chairs, make it straight. Well, of course, with the help of the Chinese youth, but do they help? They arrange the food, they raise up the banners, and so on. They make it, and they welcome the people. But the job of welcoming is not only with the welcomes ministry. Is with all of us. We need to be a welcomer. Yeah, we need to have that value of welcoming people, especially they are new. They look a bit lost. Introduce yourself. Hi, is this your first time? You know, make them feel. Just imagine yourself if you are new to a big place. You know, coming to church is really awkward sometimes. When I was younger. My father brought me to the church, to a traditional service, and there were hymnals, there weren't any slides. So I was very lost. No one came up to me and say, you know, you need to use this hymnal and so on. So I was a bit lost. So it was a difficult process. Yeah, but in the end, after a while, you start to, you know, see how people behave. So you start to behave like them. Yeah, but I didn't. But I find, but 11:30, we want it to be a more welcoming place, okay? That you can just be yourself. And to be, the next one is accessible. What does it mean to be accessible? That means to be open to in our attitude, in our space, in our action, yeah? And just make even our sermon, it needs to be accessible. We need to be inclusive, down to earth. And you know, Jesus, he's the most accessible person. How did he teach? He used parables, everyday language to the common people. He was really accessible. And people can just approach him and so on. Rich, poor, young and old and so on. And to be accessible is to honor people who may not necessarily find church or the Christian faith accessible. A lot of people have certain prejudices about the church. They think we are very exclusive, we are like a club. We need to break down those stereotypes and be accessible. The next one is to be positive, to provide a positive and encouraging experience at our 11:30 service as well. Use positive language and tone. You know, I want to thank the young people here, the youth who taught me. Because, you know why? You guys are the best teachers. They gave me feedback. The feedback that they gave to me was that my tone is very judging. Yeah, like, even if I say, that's a nice dress, it's still, they say, if I see a young person with a nice dress, I say, that's a nice dress. They say that, even though I'm very sincere, they say the tone is a bit judging. It's not positive. So I need to check myself. That's a nice dress. You know, like Chinese, you know, honey pink. No. That's a nice dress. Okay, anyway. So I need to, basically my point is we need to check our tone as well. Yeah. We need to be positive. You know, my parents, I love my parents, but I can't change them. They live in a culture and system that is not very positive. So every time if I want to go overseas, my father say, be careful, got pickpocket. Have you taken the charcoal pills? If you get diarrhea, it's all the negative things. But, you know, these days, we are a new generation. We are no longer a developing country. Singapore is considered a developed country. So if someone says something, oh, I'm going to New York for holiday. Hey, that's really nice. Hope we have a blessed time and so on. Let's be positive. Say, oh, be careful. Got terrorists and all, and all this. We just need to, you know, change, I think. Okay, and the next one is evangelistic. To show God's love and proclaim the good news through our lives, relationship, and activities. And you know, we use Alpha. Alpha is a wonderful tool. It works. Millions of people have come to faith because of Alpha. So we know it's proven to work. That's why we are champion for Alpha. And the next round of Alpha will start next year. But if you missed it, not to worry. You can think of people who you want to invite for Alpha. And the Connect Group is also another way to share Christ. So invite them. You can look for Charlotte. Charlotte, where are you? Okay. And Stephen, if you want to join the Connect Group. And even bring your friends to Connect Group. The next one is prophetic. What does it mean to be prophetic? That means to declare and minister God's promises for ourselves and seeing God's potential in every person. So every time we see a person, we don't dismiss them. Oh, this person is not possible that he will become a Christian. But every one of you, every one of your friend has a potential to become a Christian. So let's be prophetic in that sense. And the next one is to be relevant, to present God's word, God's truth in an engaging and meaningful manner. Every time we do a sermon, I always ask this, is this relevant to you guys? And I get people who feedback to me, oh, today your sermon was not relevant and so on. So I need to improve as well. I'm willing to learn. And I hope all of us would stay true to be relevant to God's word is relevant. God's truth is relevant wherever it is. And the next one is to behave. To be authentic. To be true and earnest with God and ourselves. To be real. Okay, and the last one is to be vibrant. And what does it mean to be vibrant? Is it louder music? Cool video background? No, it's not that. Vibrancy, true vibrancy comes when there is a hunger for God, when the Holy Spirit is here, is ministering to us, and we allow the Holy Spirit to just move and dwell and work. My prayer, our prayer, every Sunday before the service, we will gather at basement 2 and we will pray for the service. And my prayer is always, Holy Spirit, come and lead this service. Take it over. Dwell among us. Create a that everyone will have a deep encounter with God. And to be vibrant is to be renewed in God's strength. Okay, this is my last slide. You guys are a bit restless now. Why do I pick more birds? Harley, why do you have more birds? We have sparrows and now we have geese. This is a flock of geese migrating, yeah, from the north to the south to warmer pastures, maybe to Spain, who knows, or to Singapore. Geese. Have you ever wondered why geese fly in a V formation? Why not in an O formation? S, T? Why V? So there's a website that says scientists have determined that a V-shaped formation serves two important purposes. First, it conserves their energy. Each bird flies slightly above the bird in front of them, resulting in a reduction of wind resistance. The birds take turn being in the front, falling back when they get tired. In this way, the geese can fly for a long time before they must stop for rest. And the second thing is, the second benefit of a V formation, that it's easy to keep track of every bird in the group. Flying in formation assists in communication and coordination within the group. And these are two lessons for us at 11:30. We are a bit like geese, flying in a formation, a V formation. When the person in front gets tired, we allow another person to take over. Even though I'm the service pastor here, I don't have to lead all the time. And I just want to encourage anyone, share some ideas, how we can improve the service, improve our ministry, how to make it more welcoming, make it more vibrant. So there's certain teamwork, collaboration. And we watch out for one another. The coordination, the cooperation. I shared this story before. I went cycling with Dennis. And mine is a small bike. His is a nice road bike. Mine is a foldy. And I couldn't catch up. But Dennis, I still remember Dennis. Thanks, bro. He waited for me. And he said, "I got your back." Wow. I will remember that. A little bit of tear. "I got your back." I tattooed it on my body and I just... So it's he got my back. And one day, his bike might have a puncture. I'll tell Dennis, "I'll wait for you. I got your back too." So all of us, I pray that my desire, my prayer for all of us is that we have each other's back. We are like geese. That's our vision. Same V formation. We take turn to lead as well. Co-lead. And God is in control to that destination. It's a journey. I share this vision the next Sunday. We'll be the most welcoming, happening, vibrant. No, it's not going to happen that way. It's a process. We'll meet valleys, obstacles, but we need to persevere like the geese heading south to that warm place, full of milk and honey. Everyone, each one of us play a part. And I pray that it's not only a vision for a service, but an individual, a personal vision. So we're going to pray. And today we're going to make it a bit different. I'm going to ask you to pray for the person beside you. If you're shy, it's okay. It's all right. But I just want to encourage you to pray for the person on your left, on your right. Find someone and pray for that blessing. Ask God that this vision to be real, to be rooted, to be reaching, resonate in all of our hearts. So I'm just going to give some time. Maybe we have some music. Yeah. And turn to the left and right. Yeah. Find someone. Pray for that person. God, bless him. Bless her. May she or him can be real with you. can be real with themselves. Help them to be rooted in your word in Christ, that their identity is not man-made, but God-made. And pray that they'll be reaching. Wherever they are placed, they will bloom and shine for you. So I'm just going to give some time. 2-3 minutes. Find someone. Pray for that person.